Good morning. Hope everyone's doing well this morning. Today we are concluding our series for the month of October called Parables. And in this series we've been looking at four different parables of Jesus. If you haven't been with us this month, here's what we have said a parable is. A parable is a short story that teaches a moral or spiritual lesson. And we've compared parables to, in our everyday life, the kind of stories that we read to our children. If you read children's stories, at the end there's always a part in it that says something like, and the moral of the story is, stay in school, listen to your parents, wait 30 minutes after you eating before you swim, or something like that. And these stories are stories that teach a lesson. And that's kind of what a parable is like. And then when we read through the Bible, specifically the first four books of the New Testament, we see that Jesus teaches a whole bunch of parables. But when Jesus teaches parables, they're not just for entertainment, and they're not just to teach moral lessons. When Jesus tells parables, he does it for a very specific and very important reason. And if you've been here for 4 weeks, what is that reason? Awesome. Nobody knows. He teaches parables to teach people about the kingdom of God. That's why when you read through the New Testament, Jesus will always say this phrase, the kingdom of heaven is like, and then he'll tell a parable. And each one of these parables teaches us a different aspect of what the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God is like. And from these parables, we learn about what God is like, we learn about how God works in his kingdom, and then we learn about how we are supposed to be like, the people of God's kingdom. So that is what Jesus' parables teach. So again, this morning, we're going to look at another one of these parables. So if you have your Bible with you, you can turn to Luke chapter 6. That is where we will find the parable that we're going to look at this morning, Luke chapter 6. If you don't have a Bible with you, we'll put all the scripture on the screen so you can follow along. But in Luke chapter 6, starting in verse 39, we read this. Jesus also said to them a parable. Can a blind man lead a blind man? Will they not both fall into a pit? A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, brother, let me take out the speck that is in your eye, when you yourself do not see the log that is in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take out the speck that is in your brother's eye. Now, have you heard this one before? You probably heard it. This is one of Jesus' parables. It's a small one, but it's still a parable nonetheless. So what does it mean? What is Jesus trying to teach us about the kingdom of God from this parable? Well, in order to fully understand what Jesus is teaching here, we need to look at the context of what Jesus was teaching before. So if you back up to the paragraph right before, Jesus says this, judge not, and you will not be judged. Now, some of us are thinking, there it is. Finally, I found it. I say that all the time to people when they judge me, and I never knew where it was in the Bible. Well, here it is. Isn't it true that sometimes when people judge us, we immediately say something like, well, the Bible says you're not supposed to judge me. Judge not, lest you too be judged. Even people who don't read the Bible like to quote this verse when they're judged by others. And we use this verse to tell people to judge us not. And when we use it, we're referring to a lot more than judging. The word judge here means to arrive at a careful conclusion, to look at the evidence and then make a careful verdict. But in our world, when we say don't judge me, what we mean is this. Don't conclude anything about me at all. Don't compare me to anybody. Don't jump to any conclusions about me. Don't criticize me about anything. Don't condemn anything I'm doing. And definitely don't confront me about anything in my life. When we quote this verse, we say things like, only God can judge me, not you, so mind your own business. Isn't that what we mean when we quote this verse to other people? But is that what Jesus really meant when he said this? Jesus tells a parable to elaborate on his teaching about judgment. But in order to fully understand what Jesus was teaching about judgment, we need to back up a little bit more and see what Jesus was talking about before this. In the section before this one, Jesus says this, But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. Well, let's try and understand what Jesus is saying here. The word but is a contrast word, which means what I'm about to say to you is strikingly different than what you're used to. And then Jesus says, love your enemies. To which we say, you are correct, Jesus. That is strikingly different. Everyone listening to Jesus would immediately respond like you and I respond and say, it is not normal to love your enemies. Enemies are people that hurt you, people who are against you, people who love to see you harmed and take pleasure when you are. In fact, Jesus further describes who the enemies are. He says enemies are people who hate you, people who curse you, and people who abuse you. This is how Jesus defines enemies. Now think about your own life. Do you have anybody that would fit this classification of an enemy? Maybe it's somebody you work with. Maybe it's somebody that you go to school with. Maybe it's somebody that you used to have a relationship with, but now you are enemies. So who are your enemies? Well, let's go down the list and find out. Do you have anybody in your life who hates you? Now, to hate is to dislike intensely. Are there people in your life who seem to dislike you intensely? They dislike what you do. They dislike what you say. They dislike what you stand for. They dislike everything about you. They hate you. And how do you know that they hate you? Because they curse you. Not curse at you. Maybe they do that too. But cursing is taking that feeling of dislike and then expressing it with words. So maybe you have an enemy in your life who curses you. They tell you how much they dislike you. Or maybe you have a passive-aggressive enemy in your life, and they tell everybody else how much they don't like you. Maybe you have an enemy who curses you by spreading rumors and gossip about you. Or maybe they constantly criticize every single thing that you do. So do you have any enemies who curse you, people who say things to harm you? And what about the enemies who abuse you? These are enemies not just because of how they feel about you or what they say about you, but what they actually do to you. They abuse you. These are enemies who deliberately do things to cause you harm and make your life difficult. So, do we have any enemies now? Now, typically, when we come across people like this in our kingdom, the rule of the land is, do to others what they have done to you. In our world, we treat enemies like the enemies that they are. And it's justified because they started it. But Jesus says, well, that might be how things work in your kingdom, but in God's kingdom, that is not how things work. In God's kingdom, people are treated differently, even the enemies. In God's kingdom, Jesus says, you are to love your enemies. Now, this word love, it means a selfless concern for the welfare of another. So Jesus is saying, in God's kingdom, we are to be concerned for the needs of our enemies. And in case there's any conclusion or you're looking for a way out, Jesus explains exactly how we're supposed to do that. He says, no matter what they do to you, no matter how they feel about you, no matter what they say about you, you are to do good to them, you are to bless them, and you are to pray for them. You see that? Now, doing good means whenever it's possible, you are to actually do things that are going to benefit your enemy with nothing in it for you. That's what doing good is. You are also to bless them, which means when they say bad things to you and about you, not only are you not going to do that in return, but you're going to look for opportunities where you are going to say good things to them and about them. Compliments, encouragements, praise. That's how you bless your enemy. And then Jesus says we are to pray for them. And not the God strike them down with fire kind of prayers, but in the same way that you and I ask God to bring good things into our lives, we are to ask God to bring good things into the lives of our enemies as well. Do you see that in there? Now I'm with you. We all look at this teaching from Jesus and we think, that's dumb. It's not dumb, it's just really, really hard. Jesus never said it's going to be easy, but here's what Jesus did say. He said, in God's kingdom, people are treated differently. Do you see that from that section? Now turn to your neighbor and tell them, we're going to treat people differently. Nobody seems to be on board with that. In the world that you and I live in, we all do unto others as they have done unto us. But in verse 31, Jesus says, in God's kingdoms, we do to others as you would have them do to you. Jesus says, we're going to treat other people the way that you and I would like to be treated. That's the golden rule, right? But here's the thing. Because of Jesus, the bar for how we want to be treated has been raised significantly. Several years ago, I was in a wedding for one of my friends down in Florida, and this wedding was at this really fancy resort. So we all had to stay there, and I paid for the cheapest room possible in this fancy resort. But even the cheapest room was still the nicest hotel room that I had ever stayed in. It had its own jacuzzi, it had a balcony overlooking the beach, had a gigantic TV and one of those dream beds. So I did what everybody else does, took a bunch of pictures and filled my bag up with tiny shampoos. And then on the second night that I was there, there was a problem with the air conditioning unit. So the management said they needed to move me to a different room for the night while they fixed it. And the only room available was the master suite. And it was awesome. It was more awesome than I could ever have imagined. But the next night, they moved me back to my room, which was now the second nicest room I had ever stayed in. You see, in the same way that staying in the master suite changes the way that I look at hotel rooms, knowing Jesus changes the way that you and I want to be treated. When it came to us, Jesus gave up everything, including his life, for us. Now, all of a sudden, because of that, the way that I want to be treated has changed. We want to be treated like that. We've stayed in the master suite. We've experienced the love of God through Jesus. The bar has been raised. So if we're supposed to treat other people the way that we want to be treated, then we're supposed to treat other people the way that God has treated us in Jesus. Because in God's kingdom, people are treated differently because God has treated us differently. So when Jesus says, judge not, he is saying that when we judge other people, we need to judge other people differently. We need to judge other people like God judges us. And then Jesus tells a parable to show us how we're supposed to judge people differently. Do you follow me so far? So let's go back and take a look at the parable again. Now that we know everything that Jesus has taught about treating other people differently, here's how Jesus illustrates how we're supposed to judge people differently. Take a look at verse 41. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that's in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, brother, let me take the speck that's out that's in your eye, when you yourself do not see the log that is in your own eye? You hypocrite. First, take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take out the speck that is in your brother's eye. Now, before we start trying to figure out who's got logs and who's got specks, we need to first understand the very end of this parable. Jesus says, take out the speck that is in your brother's eye. This word speck means splinter. So your brother has a splinter in his eye. And that's probably painful in and of itself, but it's also putting your brother in danger of experiencing even more pain because with the splinter, he can't see, right? So Jesus says, you need to take it out for him. Jesus says, you need to help your brother. Do you see that in the parable? And if this parable is all about judging other people, then here is the main theme of the parable. In God's kingdom, the goal of judging is to help. Now, this seems simple and obvious in the parable, but we mess this up all the time in real life. Because in the kingdom that you and I live in, this is not how judging works. When it comes to judging other people, Jesus says, take out your brother's speck. But in the world that we live in, judging people is more like, take out your brother. If this parable were written about judging people in our world, then this guy would have seen the splinter in his brother's eye, kicked him while he was down, and then made fun of his outfit. Because so often in our world, in the name of judging, we label each other, we criticize each other, we tear each other down, and ultimately we hurt each other rather than help each other. Isn't that true? But Jesus says in God's kingdom, we treat people differently, which means we judge people differently too. In God's kingdom, the goal of judging is to help. So any kind of judging that falls short of helping is wrong. Do you see that? So here is the question that we need to drag with us through the rest of the parable. Is this helpful? You with me so far? Let's look at the beginning. Jesus says, "Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye?" This word log literally means a construction beam that holds up the roof of a house. So get the picture here. The guy with the gigantic construction beam coming out of his eye has just pointed out the itty-bitty speck in somebody else's eye. Now, obviously, you can't get something this big in your eye, so Jesus is exaggerating. He's painting a larger-than-life picture to make a point about unhelpful judging. Now, when we read this parable, the difference between the two people is not that one of them has a speck-like sin and the other one has a log-like sin. There is no such thing as big sins and little sins. Sin is sin. The speck and the log don't represent the size of the sin, but the size of the deception. Jesus asks, "How can you say to your brother, 'Brother, let me take out the speck that's in your eye,' when you yourself do not see the log that is in your own eye?" Jesus is pointing out that the person with the log in their eye has been greatly deceived into thinking that they are in any kind of condition to help anybody whatsoever. How can you say, "Let me help you," if you can't even see yourself? If you've ever gotten anything stuck in your eye, then you know that getting it out is delicate business. It's sensitive. It's painful. You can't do it yourself. And if it's done wrong, you can cause even more damage. So imagine walking in to the doctor's office to have surgery on your eye, and the doctor who is going to perform it can't even see himself. He keeps bumping into things and having conversation with plants that he thinks are people. In that situation, you and I would immediately conclude, this person is in no condition to help me. Isn't that true? Jesus ends the parable by saying, "You hypocrite. First, take the log out of your own eye, then you will see clearly to take out the speck that is in your brother's eye." I think Jesus uses this specific parable because in the parable, when it's talking about eyeballs, the solution is obvious. First, take the log out of your own eye, then you'll be able to see clearly so that you can help take the speck out of your brother. And since this parable is all about judging other people and judging them differently, let me summarize the teaching of this parable into a principle. Until you are in a condition to help, you are not in a position to judge. Until you are in a condition to help, you are not in a position to judge. So if this is what the parable means, then what does it look like? How do we apply this into our everyday lives? How do we apply it in the way that we judge other people? Well, it all starts with self-examination. Jesus says, first, notice the log in your own eye, which means before I say something about what I see in you, is there anything in me that needs to change? Obviously, if you're going to point out the sin in somebody else's life, but you yourself are guilty of that same sin, then you are in no condition to help. So you are in no position to judge. Because if you proceed to judge while you're in that condition, you all know what'll happen. That person will probably write you off as a hypocrite and not listen to anything that you say whatsoever. Isn't that usually how it goes? And then here it is. Either way, they still have a speck in their eye, and you still have a log in your eye. So at the end of the day, neither one of you can see. It's the blind leading the blind, and that is not helpful to anybody. And Jesus says, if it's not helpful, then don't do it. So here's what we do. When we see the sin in someone else's life, we need to first examine ourselves and repent of our own sin. Until we do that, we are in no condition to help, so we are in no position to judge. You see that? But there are other ways that we can be unhelpful judges. Some people really, really, really enjoy looking for specks in other people's lives. Like those guys with the metal detectors on the beach, these people are combing through the lives of the people around them looking for specks. They're watching how you act. They're listening to every word you say. They're looking at what you put on Facebook. And as soon as they find something, they're like, speck, speck, speck. Everybody look, this person's got a speck. You know anybody like that? Who are constantly calling attention to the sins and the faults and the failures of those around them? These kind of people tend to be critical, condescending. They rush to judgment. And for these people, it's not that they are in no condition to help. It's that they have no desire to help. You got a speck, you got a speck. And the person says, I do. Well, help me get it out. And they say, whoa, I don't do that. I point them out, I don't pull them out. These people are in no position to judge because they have no desire to help. Now, right this second, some of you are having a conversation with me in your head, and I know exactly what you're saying. You're saying, oh, little pastor, those people need to know. They need to know. And if I don't tell them, I am doing them a disservice. Isn't that what you're saying right now? Well, you're right. Those people do need to know. But you are doing them a disservice when you only tell them. Jesus says that in God's kingdom, we judge people differently. In the world that you and I live in right now, everybody points out other people's mistakes. So if that is what you're doing, simply telling people about their sin, then you are doing nothing different than anybody else. Everybody does that. But what makes the people of God's kingdom different is that they don't only tell them. They stick around and help them. And until you are in a condition to help, you are in no position to judge. Until you are willing to do the hard work of helping, you aren't in a position to judge. Well, let me get this straight. Are you saying that I'm supposed to let them continue on in their sin? What I'm saying is, if you really love them, you would do whatever it takes to help them. But telling without helping is not helpful. So what do we do when we find ourselves to be these kind of unhelpful judges? We need to examine the condition of our heart. Step one is to repent of our sinful actions. Step two is to repent of our sinful attitudes. Let's be honest with each other for a second. Every single one of us has a dark part of our hearts that when we see the speck in the lives of certain people, there is something in us that automatically thinks, gotcha, look who's not so perfect after all. We all do that, right? Come on, don't leave me up here by myself. At least once in our life, we've had that thought when we see something in someone else's life. Now, why do we do that? Because focusing on other people's specks distracts us from our own logs. Listen to this. When you see sin in someone else's life and you feel anything other than heartbreak, you have a log. When we see sin in the lives of other people, it should break our hearts. And broken hearts want to help. So if the sin in someone else's life doesn't break our heart, then we have a log in our own eye that needs to be removed. And until we do it, we are in no position to judge. You with me? Now, there's another group of people who are unhelpful judges. These are people who see the speck in someone else's life, but they don't do anything about it. I wrote something really corny. They're spectators. get it? Stuff? Yeah, he gets it. Takes a minute. These are people who see the sin in someone else's life, and it actually does break their heart because they love that person. They care about that person. They are concerned for that person. And they can see that the stuff that that person's doing, the choices that that person's making, are putting them down a path that is going to put them in danger. But the reason that they don't say anything is not because they don't care. It's because they're afraid of being judgmental. Jesus says, "You hypocrite." And in this parable, when he uses the word hypocrite, as a Christian, the word hypocrite feels like the worst thing you could ever be called, right? And in our world, unless you yourself are completely perfect, you are labeled a hypocrite if you say anything that remotely resembles judgment whatsoever. But notice how Jesus uses the word hypocrite here. He says, first, take the log out of your own eye. Now, in our world, if you can successfully remove the log from your own eye, then you are no longer a hypocrite. But since Jesus says first, then there must be a second, right? Jesus says first, take the log out of your own eye, and then take the speck out of theirs. So according to Jesus, until you do both steps, you might still be a hypocrite. Do you see that? Now, before we have a panic attack, this word hypocrite in Greek is the word used to describe an actor in a play. And these actors would wear masks and they would pretend to be other people. In light of what Jesus is teaching about judging people differently, I think what he's telling us is this, that there are going to be times in the relationships of our lives where, because of our love for the other person, we are going to need to judge them in order to help them. And if we are never willing to do that, then our love for them might just be an act. Here's what I'm saying. Maybe there's a person in your life that you love that you need to have a difficult conversation with about a speck in their life. And you're nervous, and it's going to be uncomfortable, and they might get defensive, but at the end of the day, it might be that the most helpful thing that you could ever do with them is to tell them about it. Now, taking a speck out of somebody's eye is a delicate business. It's sensitive and it's painful, but that person can't do it by themselves. So when you do this, you need to first examine yourself, and then you need to be gentle and you need to be honest. But most importantly, you need to let them know that you are on their side and you're going to stick with them and help as much as you can. Are you with me? And we all get weird about that. It's uncomfortable and it's hard. But I think Jesus is saying here is it's one thing to pull it out of your own eye and say, "Hey, I can see now." But if you're not helping them, then you're not being helpful. Now, finally, there's a last group. These are the people who are being judged. Somebody has pointed out something in your life, and you are not happy about it, right? Every single one of us, when somebody does this to us, we all react in the same way. No matter what it is, we frantically look at them for logs. Isn't that what we do? And it doesn't even have to be related to what they called out for us. We're looking at them for any kind of fault, anything we can find in them whatsoever. So they come to us and they say, "There's something I need to tell you about. There's something I need to ask you about. Something I've been noticing in you." And then they tell you, and the first thing you say is, well, you have terrible style. And you think that because you found something in them that it disqualifies what they said about you. We try to dismiss their judgment of us by judging them in return. But don't we do this? Whenever we do this, we are not being helpful to ourselves. In the book of Numbers, there's a story about a guy named Balaam and his donkey. You know this story? Balaam was going to go do his own thing, and he was disobeying God. And one day, he was walking to do what he wanted to do, and he was traveling on his donkey, and then God stopped the donkey in its tracks. And the donkey wouldn't move, the donkey wouldn't budge, so Balaam got off his donkey, started fighting with the donkey, started hitting the donkey, started yelling at the donkey, and then the Bible says that God opened the mouth of the donkey, and the donkey actually began to speak to Balaam. And in that interaction, God used a talking donkey to show Balaam his errors. Here's my point. Just because you think that the person who pointed out your speck is a donkey doesn't mean that God isn't using them. Now, maybe the person didn't confront you in the best possible way. Maybe they were blunt. Maybe it was awkward. Maybe they were clumsy about it. Maybe the way in which they did it hurt your feelings. Maybe they were wrong a little bit. Maybe they embarrassed you by the way that they do it. This may very well be the case. But whenever somebody points out the speck in your life, before you write them off, ask yourself this question. Is anything in what they said helpful? Because remember, in God's kingdom, the goal of judging is to help. And sometimes God can even use donkeys to help us. Now, to wrap all this up, Jesus is teaching us that we are to judge people differently because we have been judged differently. When it came to the specks in our eyes, when it came to the sin in our life, Jesus didn't mind his own business. Jesus didn't let it slide. Jesus didn't avoid confrontation. Jesus did whatever it took to help us. He did whatever he could to save us. He confronted us with our sin, and then he died on the cross to forgive it. This is how Jesus judged us, with mercy. In the same way, we are to judge the people in our lives differently. And one of the ways that we do it is by remembering the teaching of this parable. Until you're in a condition to help, you are not in a position to judge. Did you see that in the parable today? Now, we talk about it in a light way. We laugh a little bit, but we all feel this is serious, right? We all know, we're feeling it right now, that in one of these areas, we know that there's something that we need to do. Some place that we need to change, some log we need to remove, maybe some speck we need to talk about. But at least now we know that there is a God who loved us, who judged us, but stuck around to save us. And in the same way, when we really love our brothers and sisters, this is what we do. We judge them to help them. Let me pray for us. God, we thank you that you loved us and that you saw everything about us. And you saw all of our specks and all of our sin, and it was ugly and it's bad. But you didn't quit on us. You didn't turn your back on us. You didn't mind your own business, but you came to save us. And God, I pray in the same way that we love the mercy that you showed us, in the same way that we love how you treat us, how you are gentle and you're firm because you love us. We love the fact that we can trust you. And even when you discipline us, we know deep down it's for our good. God, I pray that in the same way, we would be these kind of people in our relationships. God, I pray that this week, if there is people in our lives that we need to talk to, I pray that you would give us the strength to do that, that you would give grace and mercy in that conversation, that they would be able to see through all of the hurt that we really do love them. On the flip side, God, if there's some of us who are being confronted, God, I pray that you would give us eyes to see the truth in that. And God, I pray that you would help us to begin to see all of the ways that we judge people in unhelpful ways. Forgive us for the ways that we criticize people and put them into categories and write them off. Forgive us for the ways that we call out things in other people but have no intention to help them whatsoever. God, convict us of those things. That we would be a people who are characterized by our love, even in the way that we judge one another. And God, we thank you, and we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.